Have you ever walked into a situation and you saw it and somebody else saw it, and then you're sharing notes and you saw two completely different things? Okay? As she said, I'm a scientist. And I went to college and I got a degree in chemistry, but I was actually part of the pre-med program. And I finished the pre-med program, but I did not go into medical school. I wanted to be a neurologist, but they won't let you be a neurologist unless you go to medical school. I know! It doesn't seem fair. But I've always been interested in how the mind works and how the brain works. And as you know, I'm a scientist, and sometimes they say in this day and time, and it's like, how can you be a scientist and believe in God? And I'm puzzled by that, because I'm thinking, how can you be a scientist and not believe in God? Because the scientist knows where the limits are. And they know that at some point, whatever, 13 billion years ago or whatever, they know there was nothing. And they know that there was nothing. And then there's everything, almost everything. And they'll say, this is not possible. But it happened. And so, I saw a video, and I showed it to you, and I showed it to some of you. Maybe I'll set it up, and it shows the replication of DNA. And they say, yeah, try that in the chemistry lab. Just try. If you ever go to a chemistry lab, try to do it, okay? You can't, all right? Because it's not possible, okay? And so how is it that you can understand this and not believe in God? And it bothered me, you know, because I'm interested in how people think and why people think and how you perceive what you perceive. And I started to look up some stuff, and I looked up some things. And does anybody ever hear the term inattentional blindness? Y'all are blind. You're blind. And thank God that you're blind. Does anybody here know what inattentional blindness is? I know you know. You want to share? You want me to share it? I'm putting you on the spot here. You don't have to. Okay. Inattentional blindness. The failure to notice something that's fully obvious right in front of you when your attention is elsewhere. The fail to notice. You don't notice. You don't see it. If I had the screen here or something, I'd show you. But you've all obviously seen it probably. Have you ever seen that video where you have like three or four people dressed in black and three or four people dressed in white, and the people dressed in white are passing a basketball back and forth to each other, and they're weaving in and among the people who are dressed in black? And your job, you're given a task. Count how many times the people in white pass the ball to each other. Not the people in black, because the people in black are their passing their own basketball. Could cause for confusion, right? So you have to count. One, two, three, four. And you count. And they ask you, how many did you get? And you're very, and I did this. This happened to me too. 15. I got the right answer. And I was, you know why I got the right answer? I was counting very carefully. I wanted to get the right answer. And I got the right answer. And then they asked me the question. Did you see the gorilla? No. No. I hadn't seen the gorilla. And they're like, what gorilla? A gorilla? A gorilla. Man with a, not a real gorilla, but a man with a gorilla suit. Walks on. Right in the middle of the basketball thing. He just like walks on. And it doesn't like he sneaks in, comes out from the curtain, and then you just don't notice him. No, walks on. So, seriously. And then walks back off. And so they rewind it. And there he is, right there. How did you miss him? Because of inattentional blindness. You see, we live in an incredibly complex world. Incredibly complex. There's so much going on. There's so much that you see. Most of it, at any one time, you don't see it. And thank God that you don't. How could you possibly function if you saw or heard or smelled the taste of everything that was in front of you at one point? How could you? There's some drugs, and I don't know some of the, where they actually can do that, where they diminish that barrier where you see everything and you can't function. Inattentional blindness. Now, this is probably one of the most important things in this teaching. And it's really the realization that absolutely, it shook me. You know, I had to sit down. It shook me. What you see is to a large extent determined by what are you doing? You see different things. It's not that you're looking at different things because you were looking at the screen when the gorilla went by and you didn't see him because you were counting the basketball passes. No, think about that really carefully and think about what that means. Another thing they call it is like change blindness. And you see these, there was a Nova episode and so forth, even the brain games. I think Dave has watched brain games where they've changed blindness. Something changes. It should have been obvious, but it wasn't. So take a look at Hebrews chapter 12. I was really blessed. Thank you to Steve and to Jim. I was really blessed with their teachings. And thank you for the opportunity to teach. I'm really blessed to be up here. And I was really incredibly pleased with how well the teachings went one into another from Steve's to Jim's and from Jim's to mine. And I was grateful that they were so eloquent because not only do they build upon each other, but that way if my teaching tanks, you can still learn something. But take a look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12? Yes, Hebrews chapter 12. But Gail, where's Hebrews? It's just before James. Okay. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, two. Sorry. Well, if you started in one, you would have reached it pretty quickly. But looking where? Under Jesus. Looking under Jesus. But it's not enough to just look. The question is, what are you doing? And that's a huge question. Because what are you doing is going to determine what you see. And what you're seeing. And why two different people can walk into the exact same room and see two completely different things. Take a look at Romans chapter 10. Hopefully in all this nervousness, I'll remember where the books of the Bible are. Yes, here we go. This should look vaguely familiar to most of you. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Well, thank God that's over. No. No. You see, what you do, what you choose to do, is going to be determined by, in large extent, what's your value structure? What's important to you? You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, then what? What do? You do something, right? You maybe do a lot of some things. You believe. And you act. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. So you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you believe, and you act, and you hold fast without wavering. Now, what does it mean to hold fast without wavering? Well, you turn to Romans. Okay, you don't have to, but I'm asking you to right now. And we read Romans chapter 1, and we always read verse 1 and 2 because I think you're required. There's a rule, I think, in the state of Maine and perhaps in the state of Montana and maybe Missouri that if you read in Romans, you have to read verses 1 and 2 first. Yeah, you know? Yeah. No. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Renew your mind. You tell a kid, renew your mind. It's a good thing to tell a kid. Yeah, renew your mind. Tell the person in the mirror sometimes, renew your mind, renew your mind, renew your mind. You know? No. But I'm going to do the unthinkable. I'm going to continue reading. Okay, it's thinkable, technically. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, that you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts, according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on a ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. And he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. And he that ruleth with diligence, he that showing mercy with cheerfulness. Now that you're born again and now you're in the body of Christ, each and every one of you has something that you could do for the body of Christ. And sometimes it's teaching. And sometimes it's being a prophet. And sometimes it's being a helper. And sometimes there was a guy, Rick Horncall. Dave remembers Rick Horncall. And Rick was incredibly cheerful. Whenever he saw Rick, he had a big smile. You know, one of those believers that's always really cheerful? Rick was like that. And he had I don't know if this was his ministry, but he could fix cars. All right? And some of us called on Rick more than once to come and rescue us, come fix our car. And I called him once. This is back in Connecticut. And he came out, he's cheerful, and he pops the hood. That 72 Duster broke down. It got wet, you know, got really wet. It was really rainy. And he comes out, and where it's stalled, you're up to your kneecaps in water. And I'm like, this is, you know, yeah, he's got the gift ministry of auto repair, but this is different, okay? He came out, he fixed, boom, it starts, and I'm like, oh. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick. And he's climbing back into his truck, and I see his wet pant leg, his wet pajamas pant leg. I woke him out of a sound sleep, and he came out. He went to bed early because he had an early morning. He was in the Navy. And he came out, and he fixed my car. And if I hadn't noticed his pajamas, I never would have known because he didn't tell me. But, yeah, it's... You have to give this a lot of thought and a lot of prayer. But each and every one of you has something you could give to the body of Christ. And it might be the sound system. It might be teaching. It might be music. It might be, you know, your hands. You know that, you know, you call, it might be calling someone. It might be praying with someone. If you have a cheerful disposition, it might be just calling them and just whoever comes to mind. Well, we were in Maine visiting the guy that got Dave in the Word. The guy that got me in the Word called us. Because he had learned something that really blessed him, and he wanted to share it. And that's what he wanted to do. Someone once had a hole in the wall. So he'd come over, and that might be you. You know that hole in the wall? You know, and just sometimes you just act. And bless the believers. Somehow. Find your ministry. Find your place. and keep looking. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Oh, this is something I wanted to do. Especially both, okay, make me feel at home because I miss my cadets. They're at Minnesota Leadership Academy right now. But also to make sure you all are awake. Okay. This is kind of a little bit funny. Just humor me. Humor her. Yeah, humor me. No. One of the things you do, like you ask the cadets to say, how are you today? And they all, they sit at attention. They put their hands on their knees, you know. So they come up to attention and they yell, outstanding, ma'am! Together. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you, how you doing? And you're all going to yell in unison, outstanding, ma'am! Okay? Ready? Ready? How are you doing?
Outstanding, ma'am!
There you go. Thank you. Oh, wow, I don't know about you, but I'm awake. Where were we? We don't remember, ma'am. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Verse 16. For this cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For a light affliction, which is but for a moment, exceedeth for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Pay attention. Pay attention to what you're thinking. Pay attention to what you're doing. Because what you're doing is going to determine what you see in a situation. And what that is going to be determined by your value structure. I'm sometimes prone to depression. Dave is stunned. I'm glad I said that, really. He's sitting down, you know. Because I bet. Okay. But sometimes I have to, you know, you think about where you're looking and what you're seeing. And sometimes what you're seeing, you have to think about not so much what you're thinking, well, that is absolutely perfect, but what are you doing? Because it determines, it has a big effect on what you see. What you're doing affects what you see. Are you counting the passes or are you seeing the gorilla? Right? And also when you get frustrated and when you get put this is a light affliction. I think of this as like removing a blister, removing a splinter. You ever get a splinter? Bam, it's gone. You know, the outward man perish. Some of us who are a little bit older, okay, maybe it's a little closer to perishing than perhaps it used to be. Yeah? Yeah, you young kids, someday, you know, all the stuff you listen to the radio now, it's going to be on the oldies station. If the Lord tarries, you know, you're already hearing Eminem on there, so hey. I know. Outward man perish, but she knew. Keep your eye on the ball. Well, yeah, on the ball, not on the gorilla, on the ball. And act. But more than anything, not more than just look. Looking is an action, but act. I mean, really act. Think of a, come up with a plan. And it doesn't have to be, I'm going to teach. And maybe you should be, okay? Maybe you need to make that desire known, right? Where are we going now? Colossians chapter 4. I should just give one of you my notes. And that way, I'll say, where am I going? You say, you're going to Colossians chapter 4, Gail. Thank you. Chapter 4. And say to Archippus, chapter 4, verse 17. Now, you never would have guessed that one, okay? You would have found this one and you think, that's not where she's going. No. Verse 17. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry that thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. And that's my encouragement to you, to Melissa, and to Alex there. Your sharing teach me so much. You know, gosh, we'll talk. You know, to Deanna, you know, to Steve, take heed of the ministry. Take heed. Pay attention. Pay attention and act to the ministry that those receive, that they'll fulfill it. And you don't give up. And take a look at Philippians chapter 3. It's amazing with some of the other teachings. You guys, you came so close. It's like we compared notes. And we didn't. Cut chapter 3, and we're going to verse 13, because we just read verse 13. We just read verse 12, not more than a few minutes ago with the other teaching. Philippians chapter 3, 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Not everyone had the glowing, well-behaved behavior and upbringing that I did. Okay, I'm glad none of my sisters or brothers here. Because I'll be getting one of these. But you forget whatever it is. What past might be your drug or alcohol or atheist riddled past, or it might be yesterday when you get really, really pissed off. But you forget those things are behind, and reaching forth to those things that are before, you press toward the mark. And if you fall, you get up. And you always keep pressing and you keep acting. And sometimes when you're pressing and when you're acting and you notice that things aren't clicking, you're not seeing what you should be seeing, you might need to calibrate the value structure. You might need to calibrate what your vision of what you thought your ministry was. You might need to change a little bit here and there. Right? And if that happens, it might build on the previous one. It might replace it. It might be you weren't quite where you thought you were. And that's it. You just keep moving. You press toward the mark. For the prize of the high calling. And talk about going for a gold medal. Holy cow. You know? Where are we? We're going to 2 Timothy, Gail. Okay. You know, I'm just glad that the voices on my head are on the same page, you know? Because when they contradict me, it makes it hard to teach. Oh, you think I'm joking. Verse 15. Chapter 2. I thought they told you that. But that's right. I'm the only one that can hear them. Sorry. Chapter 2. Verse 15. Okay. Whoever's on the same channel, shout it out if I don't. Chapter 2, 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study, and I mean study, and it doesn't mean you have to pull out a concordance, but darn it, open the book every so often. Because how in blazes are you going to know what in blazes you're talking about if you don't read it every so often, right? Yeah. Study, because what you understand, what you see from the word, what you believe, what you know, that's going to determine your value structure. Then that's going to determine what you do and how you act. And your value structure is not determined by what you say you believe in a group of believers. It's determined by what you do. Right? Who cares? I don't want to say I want to hear what you believe. I do. But I'd rather see it. I'd learn more. And study. Study. And this next verse, which would be 16, right? Yeah. How convenient. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Sometimes I watch too much of the news. And I'm, you guys, you can't relate because I'm the only one here that does this. But, and sometimes what I see in my life, what I see in the world, what I see when I walk into a room, when I walk into my lab, when I walk into my house, reflects that. And so sometimes it's time to shun profane and vain. Just shun it. Ignore it. Shut it off every so often. This next verse, which would be Hebrews 3, Gail. Hebrews 3, I almost didn't include in the teaching. But I'm going to anyway. And you'll see why. I'm not talking to any of you. I was telling someone, who was I telling? Probably Dave. I told him everything. I have to turn this around so you know who I am. There we go. I said, it's like you ever go to a potluck? Whenever I go to a potluck, I'm not a very good cook. But if I do go to a potluck and I bring something, you always bring what you feel like eating. That way there'll be at least one person eating it. Right? When I teach, sometimes when I think about what I need to teach, I probably should stick to more about what I know. But sometimes it's easier to get more enthusiastic about when there's one person who has to really hear it. And it's the person who's teaching. I may listen to this later on tape. I don't know if I can bring myself to it. I'll be like, God bless. Hebrews 3, verse 12. Verse 12. Yeah, is she going here? She can't be going here. Yeah, she's going here. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Talking to you, Dave. No, sorry. Sorry. I can do 36 years of marriage, people, okay? He's laughing. Take heed. But that can never happen to me. Well, where you been? How are you acting? What are you thinking? What are you seeing? And sometimes, you see, that can work both ways. Is that where you act and what you do determines what you see. And sometimes what you see is a reflection of what you're doing. Right? Make sense? Is any of this making any sense? Great. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, it's funny, I have all these notes. These notes, all right? I've been going off of this, okay? So at least I didn't forget the verses. But I'll read some of my notes, because this is kind of interesting, some of these things. The goal of vision is to make sense of the meaning of the world around us. Reality is so complicated and complex. Beyond comprehension. You screen out so that the complexity doesn't overwhelm you. The world is revealed to you through the template of your values. Your ambitions determine what you see. Your value structures determine the direction of your attention. You see what you're aiming at. You encode what's relevant, not what's irrelevant. So what is relevant? Well, what are you doing? Right? Now, oh gosh, I lost the other piece of paper that has my verses on it. Where did I tell you to go? 1 Timothy? Oh, yippee. 1 Timothy, chapter 4. Well, you see, I don't say out the verse until I actually get there, because then I'm like, if there's... You ever have that momentary panic where you tell them what verse, and then you read it, and you're like, holy crap, why was I going there? So you don't say the verse that way. Maybe you can salvage it. But going to the top, right? I go, yes. Melissa's the only one that could get it. Never. I know. It's hard to relate to these things when it doesn't happen to anybody else. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Take heed. That was almost going to be you like to give your teaching a name, you know? Take heed. It was either take heed, pay attention. Hey, you never made the list. Take heed. And you're supposed to tell them what you're going to do, do it, and then tell them what you did. Don't expect that this time, okay? Maybe next time. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. You have something to give to the body of Christ. And they're missing something if you don't do it. And don't underestimate the value of it. And don't underestimate the value of it when it's fixing someone's car or calling someone or praying with them or teaching or working or calling them and say, you know what I learned? Or just being cheerful, you know? And I was blessed. I started to cry when I heard you singing with, where's shit right behind you, YouTube. I heard you and then I heard you. And I couldn't sing along. It was amazing. You bless people. You bless people. Okay? So, get busy doing it, whatever it is. Pick up my porn notes. Hi. All these things you're not supposed to do to our teachers. Duck behind the podium. So, God bless. Thank you guys, and thank you for being strong.